Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is TD Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. Do we have TD? Okay, we are awaiting TD. But there was one thing that I wanted to ask TD about, and this came out in Jim Wyatt's mailbag. A little tidbit that was buried in one of the questions, and one of the questions was about Malik Willis. And in Jim Wyatt's mailbag, he says Malik's roster spot isn't guaranteed, even with the new rule, the new quarterback rule. Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis will be on the 53-man roster because Tannehill is the starter and Levis was the 33rd overall pick, and he's going to be given time. So Malik needs to keep improving and earn his spot. This kind of caught on like wildfire. Like, I saw articles on CBS Sports. Mm-hmm. I saw it all over Titans Twitter. My question is that not something we didn't already know? That Malik Willis's roster spot was not guaranteed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even though the league has said you can carry three quarterbacks, and we have TD on the line now.
I'll get TD's thoughts on this.
Let's get TD on.
TD joins us now. TD, appreciate you for joining us. TD, we were breaking down Jim Wyatt's most recent mailbag, and he says Malik's roster spot is not guaranteed, whereas Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis will get the nod and will have the roster spots. I think that's kind of obvious. Mm-hmm. What was your take on Jim Wyatt saying that, and what does Malik Willis, what do you think will happen with the three quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it is. Quite honest. I mean, it's not guaranteed. Obviously, Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill, they have their spots. I think Willis, you know, his main thing is just going to have to show drastic improvement from last year and continued improvement from how he performed in OTAs and minicamp. That's going to be the main thing. Fortunately, they have the rule, which you know about, where the third quarterback can be, you know, there's a separate roster spot for that. So that's a good thing for him. And it's just really going to come down to how they value that roster spot, right? That active game day, you know, active, the ability to have that third quarterback versus that sixth or seventh receiver or fourth running back or fifth safety that would be a gunner or something like that on special teams.
TD is with us, Teron Davenport, and you say he needs to show significant improvement. And I would agree that something that Jim Wyatt talks about in his mailbag as well is Malik Willis's improvement, that he needs to earn his roster spot. What do you think that looks like, Malik Willis earning his roster spot?
I think it's getting in and out of the huddle the way he has. I think it's going through his progressions, throwing with anticipation, and just overall playing the quarterback position and just being a leader. In the huddle, in the building, and on the field, all of that. I think that's really what it entails. And obviously it's going to involve performing in these preseason games, which he's going to get plenty of opportunity to do that because, you know, Tannehill doesn't typically play in the preseason. So now you're looking at least a half for each guy, and that's a good opportunity for both of them.
Yeah, TD, that's what I was going to ask you because, you know, his roster spot is sort of shaky right now. It's not guaranteed to him, meaning Willis or, you know, frankly, you know, a lot of these players. You know, how does it look in a preseason, especially if you're a team that wants to see what you have in your second round picking Will Levis, but you also – you know, want to give, you know, Willis a fair shot because, you know, frankly, you know, last year it wasn't fair. It really wasn't. But the game is not fair and you got to be prepared and ready to go. But he just wasn't put in a advantageous position, meaning Willis, to go out there and perform. So do you think that he will get the sufficient enough time in the preseason?
Yeah, I think so. And I think just knowing what he went through last year and just that was kind of a, you know, baptism by fire. And he said that he's a lot more comfortable this year having done everything last year. So I think that whole experience surviving that in itself will give him the time to be able to come out and do the things that he needs to do. And then additionally, playing a full half, you know, that's going to be really good for him. So I think, you know, you look at all that together, it's going to be a much better situation. Now, how the offensive line works is going to be interesting because obviously we know, you know, the situation with Petit for how much is going to allow him to play, right? You know, is he going to take the second and third team reps, which would be, you know, with Willis and Levis? Is that going to be the pitcher? Or, you know, how is the backup offensive line going to be? Will he be protected enough? You know, so those are all things to look at.
Talking to Teron Davenport, talking Titans. Teron, your counterpart over on ESPN that covers the Patriots had a little note in what looks like a notes column. He had some bullet points, what's going on with the Patriots. Sort of a slow news cycle, but he did mention in DeAndre Hopkins that they felt like this is, again, through the prism of his contacts in New England, that the Titans offer was more aggressive. How do you interpret that?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I know, you know, from talking to people, they did, you know, everything they can to influence him to sign with them and not even, you know, take the other visit. But once it was decided that he was taking a visit, they were confident in what they offered and as far as, you know, the contract as well as just the experience. And they felt that they have a good shot. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Mike Reese and his Patriots contacts or whoever his contacts are have steered him in that direction.
So this is not really new news to you, I'm sure. It doesn't really change how you've been you've answered this because we've been asking you this for, I don't know, a month now or getting close to it. But it did seem like there was implied that there were a lot of incentives here that in these offers, right? And hitting those incentives will be a big key to how much money DeAndre Hopkins would make.
Yeah, I would imagine there are incentives in the offers, and I think it's likely to be earned ones, which is a good thing. That's attractive to the player, you know, so that's something. It's just really interesting how it's coming out that the Patriots made the offer. I didn't know that that was the case. And I had wondered that, you know, after they redid, they signed Devontae Parker and that dropped his cap hit, I thought that maybe that would allow them a little more flexibility, and I guess that's what it did.
Now, do you believe the Titans backed themselves in a corner in this situation because they didn't go out and address the receiver position in free agency, even though they did with Chris Moore? I know that. But then they didn't draft one into the seventh round, I believe, in the draft. And now they put themselves in a position where they need a bona fide pass catcher, an experienced pass catcher. Now they have no situation. They have no you know, recourse but to just sit here and wait on Hop.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like they did push themselves in a corner. But then it also makes you wonder, like, did they put all their eggs in that DeAndre Hopkins basket? That's the thing that I wonder is, okay, because remember Mike Vrabel has said that, you know, free agency is ongoing and it doesn't end just when the first two, you know, main periods end. There's still possibilities and guys that, you know, ways that they could address the position. And it just makes me wonder if they firmly felt that this was going to happen with DeAndre Hopkins. And then also you have the rumors that came out, you know, the C.J. Stroud deal, to move up to get him with Arizona. Supposedly Hopkins was in that deal. So you never know. I think they have backed themselves in the corner, but I wonder if it was intentional.
TD is with us. TD, in that Mike Reese report, he says the Titans have been more aggressive, which is awfully vague. When he says more aggressive, do you think that he's implying that the Titans have been more aggressive than the Patriots have, maybe through the entirety of this process? Or the Titans have been more aggressive as of late than they were at the beginning of the D-Hop sweepstakes?
Yeah, I don't know because, you know, that's Mike Reese's report, so I don't want to put any you know, conjecture on that or mm-hmm. anything like that. But, I mean, if I had to answer the question, I would say, like, I know that they put the press on him when he was here, right? And I know that him leaving the building, they felt good. And they said, you know, what I was told is they were going to lay back, let him go ahead, spend some time on the visits, do whatever he had to do, and reconvene at some point. So I wonder if them reconvening is the part that Mike Reese is saying that has been more aggressive. I don't know. I haven't heard anything in regards to that, but that could definitely be a possibility.
TD, you are the very best. A happy belated birthday to you. Hope you enjoyed a nice celebration, a nice little getaway.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I did. I enjoyed it.
Good, good, good. I'm glad. Appreciate you, TD. We'll chat with you next week.
All right. Take care.
Yep. All right. Thanks, TD. Coming up next, we'll react to what he had to say about DeAndre Hopkins and also about Jim Wyatt's most recent mailbag, saying Malik Willis's roster spot is not guaranteed. Your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline Billy and D-Mace is brought to you by the New Zen Sports Sportsbook, the only sportsbook in Tennessee with a cash rewards program. Betting just got better. Download their app today. 1025-1063, the game.
Well, first is the comfort level. You definitely see that. But then you look at the play to end the practice, you know, he threw the ball to the back corner of the end zone before Mason Kinsey came out of his break, and Kinsey caught it, and it was an easy touchdown. And that was one of the first times in a while I've seen him throw an interception.
Yeah, I think it is quite honest. I mean, it's not guaranteed. Obviously, Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill, they have their spots. I think Willis, you know, his main thing is just going to have to show drastic improvement from last year and continued improvement from how he performed in OTAs and minicamp. That's going to be the main thing. Fortunately, they have.
There you go. That was TD Teron Davenport on the most recent mailbag report from Jim Wyatt, his Sunday mailbag, which I love Jim Wyatt's mailbag. It's filled with so much tea. But a question was asked on Jim Wyatt's mailbag about Malik Willis, about how he's looking in camp, hearing that he's improving. And Jim Wyatt writes, appreciate your reading. Malik's roster spot is not guaranteed, even with the new quarterback rule. Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis will be on the 53-man roster because Tannehill's the starter and Levis was the 33rd overall pick, and he's going to be given time. This caught on like wildfire. Like if you search Tennessee Titans in Google, that's what's going to come up is Malik Willis's roster spot is not guaranteed. Correct me if you think differently. I never thought that it was guaranteed. And if not for this three quarterback rule, I don't know if we would be shocked at all by Jim Wyatt saying that Malik's roster spot is not guaranteed. You got to earn it.
Well, considering, you know, what happened last year, and we believe, or I'm not going to say everybody, I do believe that you know, Willis wasn't a Vrabel pick. I think, you know, it was one of those deals where we're drafting him. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a bargain. This guy was projected to be a first or second rounder. We get him in a later round, third round. We don't need him right away. Let him develop. And, you know, we saw what happened. It didn't work out for him well last season. And listen, he shouldn't have been in the game. No way, no how. He wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. The team should have known he wasn't ready.
And they did him dirty.
Yeah, it was just, it was all around. But again, you know, from a player's point of view, I can say, you know, you shouldn't have to get ready. You should be ready. But the quarterback position is totally different from everybody else's position.
Yeah.
It's much harder. You are in control of all of the offense. So that learning curve may be different for a quarterback as it is for a wide receiver or running back, tight end, offensive lineman like that. So I just think he was put in a horrible situation. But it doesn't change the fact that you got to earn your spot. The next following year, you got to come in and take, you know, what happened last year and make it, you know, work it to your advantage. Mm-hmm. And come back and show that you are more than ready. So I never thought his spot was secure from that standpoint. But carrying three quarterbacks, I think it makes it a little bit better for him.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, okay, you're the third guy. We're going to use it. You're the third guy. So we're going to roll with that. No, you got to show that you've improved.
I say this all the time, but again, this is an illustration of how flawed the developmental system is, mm-hmm. especially for a complex position like quarterback in the NFL. When he was brought in to be a project, mm-hmm. it would be a shame to me if in the second year he's out. Mm-hmm. That just, then you look back and you say, well, why? why would you draft a guy knowing he's a project and then throw him out the window in the second year? The story I love hearing, now just think about the difference in the system. Derek Jeter drafted in the first round by the Yankees. He makes 56 errors his first year at shortstop. But where did he make them? Only on to New York.
Yeah.
In the low class A, where he could, and they just kept putting him out there.
Where you should make mistakes.
Yeah. And he told, the day he was elected to the Hall of Fame, I heard him tell that story. He was like, thank God they didn't give up on me because I was awful. Like he really had a ton of learning. He was a first round pick. It's not like they just say, hey, let's take this project in the 20th round. He was the first, he was the sixth pick in the draft out of Michigan, where, you know, they had to project, right? And so they knew he would make mistakes, but they were patient with him. But football doesn't have only on to New York, right? They don't have that spot. So Malik Willis has to do it against the best players in the world right away. He gets thrown into a situation he's not ready for, and now it's like, well, I don't know if he'll make the team in the second year. It's just, it's a messed up system. It's wrong.
Yeah.
I get it. It's what else are you supposed to do? You're trying to win.
Well,
but you don't have a minor league team.
It went from when the whole new not the new collective bargaining, but when the NFL in, you know, their hierarchy decided, hey, listen, we're not going to pay these quarterbacks, you know, this large amount of money, and they haven't proven anything.
Right.
When in those days, they were more inclined to let you develop. You know, you develop, and it may take you a couple of years, you know, but you're going to develop, and we're going to have you because we got our veteran here. And if it takes you 2 years to develop, then that's so be it. We're going to allow you to develop. But I think now, because of the new salary cap and the new CBA and everything else, it's easier for a team to draft a quarterback in the third round or in the first round, as we've seen before, and give up on them very quickly because you can then draft another quarterback that next following year in the first round. We've seen teams do it. We saw the Miami Dolphins, Arizona Cardinals, get rid of there, and he was a top 10 pick. The kid out of Cal. Was it out of Cal? I believe the kid out of Cal. He was a top 10 pick. And after the second year, they were done with him.
Josh Rosen?
Yeah, Rosen. They traded him away. Yeah. You know, they traded him away. It's easier for them to make those moves now than it was back in the day.
And I think that you could look at it through two different lenses of once a GM makes up his mind, then you have to just move forward with it. Even if it feels crass or too early, once you made your mind up, then we got to move forward. But I think, you know, with Malik Willis, I think he's going to be on the roster. I think they're going to carry three quarterbacks as long as he continues to show improvement.
Exactly.
And as long as Will Levis is still learning. But I think once the Titans made the decision to trade up in the second round and to take Will Levis, that automatically made Malik Willis's roster spot in question.
Yeah, jeopardizes the roster spot. And I'm sure Malik Willis, he had, that was a sort of a proverbial warning shot. Like, okay, if you don't come back ready to go, your spot is not guaranteed on this team because we've already drafted a guy in the second round now that many believe is a first rounder that should be our franchise quarterback. That's what we're thinking. So you better come back ready and ready to hit the ground rolling because we're not going to, even though we shouldn't have put you in that situation last year, we're not doing it this year. We're not going to throw you out there and let you learn sort of trial through error. No, we're not doing that. You got to show us that you're improving each and every day and during the preseason.
Another angle that we've discussed a lot with both the Titans and the Predators is how much where they are right now is focused on this coming season and how much are you looking at the next couple of seasons. Because if you're looking at the next couple of seasons and you figure this probably is the last year for Ryan Tannehill. He could have a great year. Then you're like, wait a minute. The guy could still play. Let's bring him back. I mean, you absolutely could do that. But do you keep that third quarterback on the roster knowing that, hey, next year we want to have these guys around. He's showing me enough that there's hope that I'd like to have him come into camp in year three and see where he is, even if he's just the backup. You also don't know how Will Levis is going to look in a year.
Right.
And right? If, so keeping those guys in the stable, if you could do it, that's good. But what are you sacrificing week to week? Where you say, man, I need that extra special teams guy. We're a little light on wide receivers. Got to bring a guy up for the practice squad. Who do we cut? Oh, we got that third quarterback in there. Might have to cut him. You know, you get into that dilemma, right? Week 8, week 12, guys get hurt. God knows, last year, my goodness.
Guys do get hurt.
90 players or whatever, right?
We have learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough to keep three quarterbacks the whole season without it coming to a head. Like, man.
Now, would it affect your roster spot? Because it seems like they opened up that.
You have that new rule where you could designate him on game day, but he's got to stay on your roster during the week.
On your 53-man roster. And then come game day, that third quarterback doesn't count against your allotted number of players on game day. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into your thoughts on this. I see your D-Hop thoughts. I see your Malik thoughts. Everything is on the table. We'll get into those thoughts coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Let's get into some of your thoughts on the latest with the Tennessee Titans. Jim Wyatt, in his most recent mailbag, said Malik Willis's roster spot is not guaranteed. Mike Reese of ESPN.com reports that DeAndre Hopkins, in that pursuit, the Titans have been much more aggressive. One texter texts in, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Will Levis gets time to develop, but Malik Willis gets screwed with no choice but to play, no O-line, and no receivers. I hate it for the young man and do believe that Malik Willis could be better than Will Levis. With the first part, he did get kind of screwed. I will give him that. That was a John Robinson demerit on his report card for not giving this Tennessee Titans team another option, more insurance at the quarterback position. I mean, Malik Willis truly was thrown to the wolves when he was not prepared to do so. Mm-hmm. He had no business seeing the field last year. But he did.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a new regime. John Robinson isn't here anymore. Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are running the shots. That they view Will Levis as the quarterback of the future. So is it fair? Honestly, no, probably not. But a lot of things in the NFL, unfortunately, are not very fair.
Totally. And again, going back to what would you do in baseball in this situation, it'd be pretty simple.
Yeah.
You put one guy in single A, one guy in double A, and just let them play it out. Let them play as long as they need, develop them, see where they are in a year, see where they are in 2 years. It's not a problem. Like the Predators just drafted plenty of wingers, plenty of centers. They're all going to play in their respective spots. They're going to play. They're going to develop. But you're trying to develop guys at the top level. And so, look, if Will Levis flops this year and looks awful, well, he's going to they might draft the next guy the next year. They might draft another guy. That's just how it works,
Caleb
right?
Caleb Williams, welcome to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, in this situation, yes, he was, I think they didn't put him in a situation where he could succeed. I thought he started to get a little bit better during preseason, that he should have been completely shut down after preseason. He shouldn't have seen the field, because even though he got better each time, it wasn't enough to show that he could play on Sundays when the season started. Mm-hmm. It was enough to show, hey, okay, this kid is making some progress in what we want him to learn. He still has a long way to go, but he's learning. But then you had to throw him out there in a situation that, hell, I mean, Ryan Tannehill wasn't really, thriving in a situation that he was in because of the injuries and not having that number one guy. So now you throw a rookie in there that, he's still green, like as green as green can get. That's what he was. And you throw him out there and say, go out there and perform at a high level and win us games.
Right.
I mean, I get it. This sport is about, opportunities that you get and you're making the best on, because it may be the one and only opportunity you get. But also, you got to put me in a situation where I can at least have a fighting chance. He didn't have both of his hands were tied behind his back, and you're asking him to go out there and fight. Couldn't do it, and
he didn't look good doing it.
Exactly. Didn't look good doing it. But then I know people say, well, you know, what's the kid's name from UT that came in Pittsburgh? They got him
Josh
off
Dobbs.
The line. Yeah, Josh Dobbs. He came in and did well. People say, well, why he could? Well, Josh Dobbs had been in the NFL 5 years already.
He's and when you say he did camp. Well, I don't know if I would say he
– He did okay.
Did well. He did okay compared to Malik Willis.
Exactly.
But like you
Absolutely.
Said, way older. He's had tons of time to develop. Uh-huh. He's been around. Uh-huh.
And
he's been given a lot
good,
of time.
And Dobbs has developed into a good quarterback. He's a guy
solid
that can
backup.
Be – Exactly, a solid backup. So you expected him to come in and be better than what Willis showed. And he was. And I think some people are holding that against him. Like, well, if Joshua Dobbs came in and did it, why couldn't you? Well, because Joshua Dobbs has 4 years under his belt. And he looks more polished as a quarterback than a guy that basically took his cue from the sideline in college, you know, and
right.
was told where to throw the ball.
One word play
calls. Exactly. Absolutely.
Jake from Nashville texts in about D-Hop, says teams are scared of DeAndre's age because of how Julio Jones was a bust. Julio was the same age as DeAndre is right now, and I'm hearing everyone getting excited about DeAndre, but I'm having flashbacks to how Titans fans acted during the Julio Jones sweepstakes. I wouldn't make the same mistake twice. The Titans can't afford it, and that would be Vrabel's second big wide receiver mistake. I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the D-Hop and the Julio Jones situations are different just because, first of all, you had to give up a second-round pick in order to get Julio Jones. You don't have to do that
Bigger
with
DeAndre
risk.
Hopkins.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
And
so,
Julio was a year older.
Julio
was 32 older, as opposed to 31.
Julio was dealing with hamstring injuries, mm-hmm. which we know the older you get, the more hamstring injuries can nag. DeAndre Hopkins isn't dealing with that. And I also think you're in a much more desperate situation with your wide receiver core now than you were in 2021 when you traded for Julio Jones.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you can't compare the two situations because they're different. One was a situation where the Titans were going for it, so they reached a little bit too much to try to bring in an aging receiver that has a Hall of Fame resume.
Mm-hmm.
But his best days were far behind him. But you felt this is the one guy that could potentially put us over the hump. And it didn't work. I think this is a different situation. You don't think he's the, meaning DeAndre Hopkins, he's not like the last piece that's going to get us over a hump. And he's not coming off a season or seasons where he's been consistently injured or dealing with soft tissue stuff. So, I mean, it's just, man, listen, how far are you willing to go to bring a guy like D-Hop? Because, listen, if it doesn't work, and I'm not even saying, you know, if D-Hop just come in and just be a total dud, because I don't think that would happen. But if it doesn't work, meaning your offense doesn't look much different with him on this team, the problem may not be who you bring in. The problem may be you. Absolutely. So,
Fair point. One texter texts in and says, if Willis looks better than Levis, then how do you justify cutting Willis, especially since they're around the same age? Well, also want to remind everyone that at this point, Malik Willis is throwing the ball in shorts and there's no pass rush and it's a much different environment. We've made the decision on this program that we will not make our full evaluations of Will Levis mm-hmm. and of Malik Willis until we can see them in preseason games.
Yes.
So I think that Malik Willis at this point probably should look better than Will Levis. Will Levis is a rookie. Will Levis is figuring things out. Once you get through training camp, when you got the pads on, when you're facing a pass rush, when you're actually executing the offense, when you're in command of the huddle, that's when we can really make our minds up about who looks better, Will Levis or Malik Willis.
I would also add that because Levis is not a first-round pick, this is the beauty of getting him in the second round, having him sitting there. Look, one thing I've learned in watching this, if you can play, they're not going to cut you. They're not going to cut a quarterback who can play.
Right.
So if Willis outplays Levis, it's not like you're saying, well, you know, we spent the first-round pick on Levis. Levis is a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to throw him out his first year, but you will find a way to accommodate that if that ends up happening. Wouldn't you agree? Like, if Willis doesn't show like he's getting anywhere, then okay, let's see. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of variables here, right? So in this, if Willis looks better than Levis, they're not going to cut Willis,
no.
right?
No.
No.
They're
mm-hmm.
not. Yeah, they're not going to. If Malik Willis is the better quarterback in preseason games, he'll be the backup.
Yeah. At least in the short term.
Levis will be on the team, too.
Yeah.
Both of them will be on the team.
Be on the team. And then does that change? Probably when it gets to a point, if and when Will Levis starts to progress, starts to look like he can take over this offense, then that's when things will change. Because I think the Titans view Will Levis as the quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. I don't think they would trade up and take him if they didn't view him as the quarterback of the future. When does he become that quarterback of the future? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, only time will tell. You know, and again, listen. Yeah, it will shake itself out. What's the saying? The cream will rise to the top.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Eventually, if you, like Willie said, if you can play, if you prove you can play in the preseason, you're going to be around. You just are. You know, if Willis comes out and prove that he's learned a lot and he's made some giant steps, then he's going to be there on this roster. If Will Levis comes out and, you know, shows that he's picking up on offense quickly, he's going to be on the roster. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to make up your mind.
Exactly.
You don't need to make your mind up tomorrow. You don't need to make your mind up the first day of training.
You have until the end of training camp to make up your mind.
And even
I'm saying the end of preseason.
Right.
To make up your mind. Once the rosters are ready to be set, that's when you make your determination. Because they will. And I'm sure they're bringing a fourth quarterback if they already have not brought in one. But
you think they will?
I think they're probably more than likely bringing another fourth quarterback just because.
Camp body.
Just because. But they're going to give these two individuals, Willis and Will Levis, enough opportunities to prove that they belong on this team. Because they know Ryan Tannehill. We know what you can do. These two guys, we're going to allow them to either play themselves out of a roster spot or play themselves into a roster spot.
Wes in Clarksville texts in about D-Hop, says if Vrabel says he doesn't want him here, if he doesn't want to be here, don't you think that D-Hop would already be here if he wanted to be? So now the Titans should pass on him because he's looking for a money grab. Of course he is. This is business.
Yeah.
But you could argue that he doesn't want to be in New England.
Yeah. Right. I would
make
the argument
does
he
want to
be?
Like he wants to
be wherever he's going to pay him. That's showbiz, baby.
That's why I said, listen, he can be waiting for one or two things or both. He can be waiting on a bigger offer from another team, or he could just be waiting for an offer from that right team, or he could be waiting for an offer from that right team mm-hmm. that's maybe close to what an aggressive offer that the Titans are making or New England has made. If I can get close to the monies that is being offered from Kansas City or, I don't know, just any other team, say a San Francisco, even though I know San Francisco is not in the mix. San Francisco, if I can get close to the money that they're paying me, then I may be going over there because I got a shot to win. And at least I can recoup some of that money because I get playoff money. And if we go far enough, I'm going to get a lot of playoff money. Mm-hmm. And if we win a Super Bowl, then I'm going to get money on top of money, you know? So.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. One of my favorite nights of the year is tonight. And we will discuss coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. So tonight is one of my favorite nights of the sports calendar. Like right now is a very slow time in sports. It is known as like the slowest time of the year in the calendar year in sports. But tonight is the Home Run Derby. And I absolutely love the Home Run Derby. Every single year, it is appointment watching for me. Like, I prefer the Home Run Derby over the baseball All-Star game.
You're killing me.
I still love the All-Star game. Like, I think the MLB All-Star game is really the only All-Star game that I really care about. Like, the Pro Bowl, don't care about it. NBA All-Star game.
The Pro Bowl don't care about the Pro Bowl.
The NFL doesn't care about the Pro Bowl. Don't care about the NBA All-Star game. But I love the MLB All-Star game. But I think the Home Run Derby is better. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, it's lacking a little pizzazz for me this year. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if MLB itself hasn't been promoting it very much. I don't know if there's just not enough star power in this year's Home Run Derby. No Shohei, no Aaron Judge. I don't know what it is. I'm still going to watch it. I'm still excited about it. It's lacking a little bit of oomph, a little bit of sparkle, pizzazz.
I think you might be surprised, Caroline. I really do. I think Julio Rodriguez being the hometown kid in
that's
Seattle.
The one to watch.
That is
sure.
Cool. Yeah. That is cool.
You know, I did suggest something to Caroline before the show started that would make, and I don't know if they have it or not, that would make it more interesting, especially when you don't have these, you know, long ball, some of these real long ball hitters, they're not participating in, in this year's home run derby. Good luck to Mookie Betts. I hope he does win, just because selfishly, you know, it's Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully he does win. But I know the odds are stacked against him a little bit. What do you think about this, Willie? Because I ran it by Caroline. You know how in Top Golf, you've been to Top Golf. And, you know, you got to try to hit certain rings,
right, targets,
to get points.
Yeah, skills.
I think that should be part of the home run derby. Like, if a spot lights up on it, you try to hit that spot to earn extra points. Say, like, the last five hits or just periodically, you know, it just shows up where you got to hit the ball where it lights up in the stands. And if you hit it there, you get extra bonus points for that.
I like that idea. Because I do think the home run derby can get a little monotonous. I've never been a guy that would say I would prefer to watch the derby over the game. I am all about the game. And I will admit that the game, because of the way the game has trended, so many strikeouts, home run being the biggest source of offense, it's changing this year. That's why I'm hoping the All-Star game will reflect the rules changes. Maybe we get a few more stolen bases.
Yeah.
A few more people taking chances on the bases. Action. That's what the game has lacked. You know, no shifting. So please. But when you have guys throwing 98 for one inning, the best pitchers in the game, it's hard to hit. So we're getting a lot of 3-1, 2-1 all-star games. So I get it with the younger group. Like, oh, man, the game is not that great. Whereas when I was growing up, it was a much better game, I think. But I'm still partial. So I would much rather, if I can only watch one, I'm watching the game and not the derby. And I've never, but I do think they've done a pretty good job the last couple of years keeping the derby moving. For a while, it was just getting too long. Like, okay, let's get over with the second round. Let's move on. Well, he's got a timeout. We have a timeout. So they kept it moving. It's better, the format, than it was when they first started. But I'd be interested in a wrinkle like that, like have. Yeah. All right, you got to hit it straight away center on this one. Then you got to pull this one. You got to go opposite field. You get a bonus point.
Because that's technique.
It is.
That's skill.
And it's also you're working with your pitcher. Can he put it in a place? Can he pitch it? That's the underrated part. It's like Pete Alonso is using his travel team pitcher when he was 13 or 14.
Cute.
And now that guy's under pressure, right?
Because seriously,
if you can't throw a strike, if it's the moment's too big for you, like, oh boy, now you've just ruined his chance of winning. And that was my take at the bank. I'm counting on this guy to throw Pete the ball in the right spot here. Because who was he facing in the first round? The hometown kid, Julio Rodriguez, right?
That's right.
That's who he's playing first. So the crowd's going to be going nuts against Pete Alonso here. They're going to be booing his pitcher. They're going to be hoping he screws up.
But if anyone is the face of the home run derby, at least in the last 3 to 5 years, Pete Alonso's got to be it.
Oh, yeah.
Polar bear.
The polar bear.
He has got to be it.
And that Mookie Betts is playing. Mookie has 26 home runs.
Yeah.
26. He's got more home runs than Pete Alonso.
And that's in the leadoff spot, too, which is pretty hard.
Now, Mookie says, yeah, but they only go 382 feet, which is fun. Like, but he is
only.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does help the margin for error. Like, the further you can hit it, like, you can miss hit it and still goes out. Like, he's going to have to hit it right on the button to get as many. It doesn't hit it as far as some of these other guys. And don't you also get a bonus in the new format if you hit a certain distance, you get an extra.
I think over 400-something-odd feet or something. You get like a money ball or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what gives the big boppers an advantage.
And I like the incentives of if you can just absolutely rip it, then you'll be incentivized. Like, you'll get rewarded for doing that.
Yeah.
And isn't it, I'm trying to remember last year, your home runs each round don't carry over to the next round, correct?
Correct. It restarts, I do believe. Yes.
I like that. I don't think it's very fair.
So, yeah, you could have the greatest round of all time in the first round.
And still lose.
And still, in the next round, that doesn't count for anything. You got to do it all again. Mm. Like, you could win by having 20 in the first round, then you can win again in the second round by having 12 if the other guy just doesn't have a good round.
And you could hit total more home runs than than who you're going against, and that who you're going against can still win overall. I don't think that's very fair that if you hit more home runs and you lose, but I do like the idea of it resets every round because I think that eliminates the idea of, okay, well, if I hit 25 home runs in this round, I can just sit back and relax and not do anything in the next rounds. Like, you got to keep moving for it. I'm excited about it. But I do feel like we may be in the minority of sports fans that genuinely love and enjoy this all-star, you know, experience in MLB.
I used to be enough of a snob for a while. I stopped watching. I was like, I'm not watching it. I can't stand these people that would rather watch the Derby than a game. This is batting practice. I used to be that guy.
Yeah, I
am coming
good.
Around. I am watching. I am going to watch. But I still would prefer the All-Star game.
I'm taking Vlad Guerrero to win the Home Run Derby tonight. Yeah. So Willie D and I going head-to-head. His pick was Pete Alonso. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman and Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.